Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This story was first published on January 11th of 2010 under the headline, Bing Cherry Has Roots on the Oregon Trail. Here we go. Among cherry aficionados, the deep red Bing is the gold standard. Rich and sweet, almost like chocolate in its intensity of flavor, this cherry utterly dominates the supermarket and is most people's favorite variety. But few people realize that this variety of cherry would not exist today if a Quaker nurseryman named Henderson Lewelling had not brought its progenitors all the way to Oregon from Iowa along the old Oregon Trail in 1847. Other events hinged on this as well. Fellow Quaker John Minthorne's Oregon Land Company, 40 years later, made a specialty of developing orchards to sell, a business plan obviously dependent on the tradition Lewelling imported. Without the Oregon Land Company, Minthorne's teenage nephew, Herbert Hoover, would likely not have gotten the early training in sound business practices that were to be so important in his early career as an engineer, and his later career as other things, too. Lewelling left the city of Salem, Iowa in 1847 with a specially constructed wagon full of grafted fruit trees, 700 of them in all, ranging from tiny slips to 4-foot-tall trees. The family, Henderson, his wife Elizabeth, and 8 children, traveled with 2 other Quaker families, the Hockettes and the Fishers. In all, they made up a train of 7 wagons, counting the trees. Along the way, they tried to travel with other emigrants, but friction developed because of the trees. The tree wagon was extraordinarily heavy and hence slow. It also attracted noticeable attention from Native Americans, which made everyone very nervous. So the other emigrants forged ahead. This was likely a mistake on their part. Lewelling was later told that many Native Americans saw trees as sacred and considered that a wagon train carrying trees over the mountains was under the protection of the Great Spirit or God, or however their tradition conceptualized the divine. Whether for this or other reasons, not only did the Lewellings have no quote-unquote Indian trouble, but when the pregnant Elizabeth went into labor during the Columbia River part of the journey, they happily loaded her into a canoe and paddled her to the Dalles for medical attention. She gave birth to the family's 9th child, a girl named Oregon Columbia Lewelling, on the way there. Then the powerful and dangerous Columbia Cascades had to be shot, trees and all. Again, Native Americans happily helped, retrieving a runaway flatboat that had missed the takeout point and was headed into more danger. By the time Henderson and Elizabeth got to their destination, in Milwaukee, they had lost only half the trees. Along the way, though, they'd gained a child and a large cohort of Native friends. They'd also gained the opportunity to start what would become one of Oregon's most important industries. Besides the Bing cherry, the Lewelling family went on to develop the Black Republican, Lincoln, and Willamette cherries, the Golden Prune, the Sweet Alice apple, and several fruits bearing the Lewelling name. By the way, the story of the Lewellings' journey is the basis for Deborah Hopkins' children's book, Apples to Oregon, one of the Oregon Reads book selections for last year's, that is, 2009's, sesquicentennial celebration. The book springboards off the story to generate a tall tale about the journey. One other story springs from the Lewelling family, too, and although it is not one of which Henderson Lewelling's relatives were or are particularly proud, it does need to be at least mentioned here. In 1859, Lewelling, having established his nursery business and then moved it subsequently to Oakland, California, joined a wild-eyed spiritual group called the Harmonial Brotherhood Free Love Society and slipped off in the middle of the night to help them found a commune in Honduras, leaving his wife destitute and the rest of his family outraged. His brother, Seth, changed the spelling of his last name after this, probably to avoid being associated with Henderson. The commune project did not end well, and Lewelling returned to the West Coast with his tail between his legs, living in the San Francisco Bay Area under a pseudonym for some time after that. Key sources in this story included works by Ralph Beebe, Tricia Wagner, and the archives of the Sacramento Daily Union. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you're listening to is one of roughly 300 newspaper columns published between 2008 and today. Since 2008, Offbeat Oregon has grown to include a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, a fleet of Pinterest boards, a ton of great historic photos, and a bunch of other stuff that you can explore by mousing over the little row of square badges that you can find at the top of our hub page, which is at offbeatoregon.com. Visuals that go with today's show will also be found at offbeatoregon.com. You'll also find full citations to the sources for all of the stories there. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. See offbeatoregon.com/CC for the deets. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Email me, finn@offbeatoregon.com, or ping me on Twitter @offbeatoregon. And also, if you're going to be in town near Oregon State University with time for a cup of coffee, do let me know. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.